Today we're going to have some repetition. What I'd like for you to do is to be aware of the fact that the bulletin that you have in hand, if you look at the front of it, if it is today's, then you have some verses of scripture in there that we're going to be analyzing. So I wanted you to see that I have March 17. Is that the correct day? Inside of it, you have Ephesians 4:17, Ephesians 4:18, and then I believe Ephesians 4:19 and Ephesians 4:22. I would enjoy it, even though I may never see it. I would enjoy if you would take your bulletin and take these verses and take a pen or pencil. And as I'm proclaiming today that you will mark whatever particular word with which I'm presenting the information on. Ephesians 4:17, Ephesians 4:18, Ephesians 4:19 on the back, Ephesians 4:22. Ephesians 4:22 will be on Wednesday night. Just wanted to get you all lined up so that you'd be able to have your bulletin open and be ready to mark certain things that I'm going to share with you. Now on the screen, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in your faith, just as you were and overflowing with gratitude. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Psalm 37, 23, 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Psalm 37, 23, 24. Luke 24, 45. And Jesus opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Luke 24, 45. And Jesus opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Luke 24, 25. Children, please stand for Bible class. If you open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, which is the first verse that we'll look at in your bulletin. So I would encourage you again to take a look at Ephesians 4, 17. We've come today to study God's Word, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. There's not anything more wonderful in life for us as believers than for us to advance spiritually and to grow in grace and knowledge of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray together before we begin our scripture reading. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice today that we are your children, saved by your matchless grace. We're aware of the fact that you give us so many wonderful blessings every single day. And we bow to express our deep thanks today for the fact that we are saved by your grace. Heaven is our eternal home. We have magnificent and wonderful blessings every single day, and we thank you for it. These are wonderful moments for us, precious moments for us, as we open our hearts to these outstanding verses of Scripture. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, or if you'll look at your bulletin, you will look at Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walked in the futility, emptiness, mataotes of their mind. Verse 18, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Verse 19, and they, having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way. When I go back to Ephesians 4:15, here's what I see. We see the communication of the truth and response to truth and results in the believer's spiritual advance. When I look at verse 16, I will read again verse 16, and you'll see it with me. From whom the whole body, being lifted, fitted, and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. I'm putting now verse 17 on the screen, and I'm going to read it and then talk about it. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility, emptiness, mataotes of their mind. Now on the screen, I'm going to put verse 17 from the original language. Please notice, if you will, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. I pause with you and let you look at these verses. First of all, this is the word for witness, and it is a unique word. This I say, therefore, and testify, or witness. And then we have a preposition in the Lord. We have the next word, which is an interesting one, makete, and it is the word no longer. That you all, as believers, this is the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of God writing to the Ephesian believers, but I believe is writing also to us today, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. When we come to the word walk, we will discover that this is a verb. It's in the infinitive mood, which is a mood of wish or desire. So the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is saying to us that we should have a desire to no longer walk as the unsaved or out of harmony individuals, the Gentiles, walk. And then we have the last line here, in the vanity of their mind. What we're going to do today is to emphasize what I'm calling some powerful words. We have this throughout these verses, and I'm not sure that I'll have the time to emphasize all of them. Some of them we've looked at in the past, but we need to go back and look at them again. If you look at this word, mataotes, I'll show you here it is in the Greek. And the way it is used here is mataiotei. The Greek word from the root word looks like this on the screen that you see now. I'm going to put this up here for you to see. I'm calling this word one, mataiotes, mataotes, which is the word translated emptiness, void, nullity. I notice that the German translation uses the word nullity. The word is mataotes, or emptiness. Actually, the word means purposeless, or futility, or vacuum. So if you want to put a definition down for this first word, mataotes, put down purposelessness, futility, or vacuum. Number two, the soul was designed to function on divine fuel. last Wednesday night, and I believe last Sunday, we even talked about the fact that your soul and my soul is designed to function on divine fuel. Number three, when this fuel is rejected or neglected, then the tank, spiritual tank, is empty. Then if you'll notice, when the spiritual tank is empty, actually what's going to happen is individuals are going to be seeking out for something else to bring satisfaction to their souls. And in doing this, they're going to allow the old sin nature to be the arbitrator, then horizontal viewpoint comes in and takes over and begins to fill up the tank. Number five, this is described by the word emptiness, mentality of the soul, and the word for mind is nous, N-O-U-S. I put this on the screen for you to see, and I want you to look at it if you will, please. The nous refers to the intellect, to the intelligence of the soul, the thinking of the soul. So if you will, please put down the word nous. Put down the word nous refers to the intellects of the intelligence of the soul, the thinking of the soul. And then we emphasize here that perception of the soul is located in what is known as the K-A-R-D-I-A. In the second session today, we're going to be dealing with that word. But I'd like for you, if you will, please, to write it down somewhere and understand that the cardia, the mentality of the soul, is the controller of your soul and the base of intellect and character. Number six, when God's thinking is rejected, an emptiness or a vacuum is created in the soul. We talked about this last Wednesday night just a little bit to emphasize the fact that we realize that at home, in our home, we use vacuum cleaners. And the vacuum cleaners are designed to suck up the dust, the dirt, those things that should not be left on the floor. When God's thinking is rejected, then an emptiness or a vacuum is created in the soul. The amazing chapter 1 of Romans is a chapter that most of you have looked at over the years. If you haven't, let me remind you that that is a chapter in Romans that you need to take a look at, because it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, they became empty in their thought pattern, in their reasonings. If you know anything about the first chapter of Romans, you're aware of the fact that there's an emphasis upon all kinds of disobedience to the plan of God in various areas called lasciviousness or sensuality. So we discover then that the scripture says that there is darkness that will come to an individual soul when they allow their vacuum cleaner to suck in all the debris of the world. Romans 1:21 says they became empty in their thought pattern, in their reasonings. And then number eight, that which follows is described in Ephesians 4:19. So I'm going to ask you to look at your bulletin today and go over to the verse 19. I believe it's on the back page. Yes, you can see it there. So turn to the back page of that insert and you'll go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, which emphasizes and describes the darkness of the soul. I'm looking at it here now, and I want you to see with me Ephesians 4, 19. I have it, and I'm going to turn the page so I can go to the same verse where you're looking, and I'm going to find it here very easily. Someone lets me know that there it is, right there. Notice, if you will, who, having ceased to care, gave up themselves over unto, then there's that long word, 14 letters, that we studied a previous session, lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. Now, I'm going to see if I can show you some of the words that are used here. One of the words that is used here is the Greek word skotios or skotizo. And you'll notice on the screen that that is the word for darkness. Darkness of the soul. The title of our message today is taking a look at these verses 18 19:20, darkness of the mind, alienation from God. So, take a look, please, at Ephesians 4:18, 19, and 20. When I think in terms of the word darkness, I discover that this is what happens to an individual when they turn their attention away from the unique teachings of the Word of God. Darkness of the mind, alienation from God. And we find that all in these verses, Ephesians 4:18, 19, 20. There are many illustrations in the Bible of people who were saved, but empty, and captivated by spiritual darkness. If you would follow me, I want to follow a pattern. I want us to make our way slowly in our thinking through the Bible. There are many illustrations in the Bible where people are saved, but empty and captivated by spiritual darkness. If you turn through the pages of the Word of God, you will find that there is the Exodus generation. When you go to the Exodus generation, you will discover that there are many individuals whose minds were captivated with darkness. When you make your way on to the period of the judges, you will find individuals who are under the influence of spiritual darkness. When you go into the period of the reign of King Saul, you will discover the failure of the Jews. The Chaldean Empire, you will discover that people have a failure of the mind. Then you go into the New Testament and you'll find even that the apostles, there were those at times who chose to go in a wrong direction, and many others. When people are believers, but not perceptive, non-responsive to truth, they will be involved in what I classify as inner rebellion and revolt. And then that misery will result in outer rebellion and revolt. It's interesting when you go to the book of Jude, verse 12, you will find some interesting words. Jude 12 speaks of what we classify as apostates, people under the control of alienation from God, under the control of their sinful nature. When I went to Jude 12, here's what I read. These apostates are spots in your feast of love. Now, normally, when you read this, you're not going to think too much about it. But I noticed something very special here. These apostates, the scripture says in Jude 12, are spots in your feast of love. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. If you'll check carefully, you will discover that the word spots there emphasizes rocks in the sea. Caused by water. I looked at this and I jotted this down for you to see. When you find these words spots, they mean rocks in the sea covered by water. The rock symbolizes an apostate, a hypocrite. The water that covers the rock represents hypocrisy. Or will we classify as pseudo-happiness? These people have come together in what is called a feast of love, which emphasizes the social life of these individuals. But then what is startling here is, it says that they are feeding. And the word feeding there is the Greek word for shepherd, like poimenai kai didaskalos. And says what these individuals do when they find themselves in the social life, not properly related to God, they become hypocrites, they are apostates, and they begin to feed themselves or shepherd themselves. What I'd like for you to see here is this word that we've seen a number of times of the shepherd, poimenos. Here it is, poimeno. It is the word shepherd. When I looked at this, I noticed how the word is used. And I came to the conclusion that there is always the danger of the rejection of the proclamation of the Word of God. When people are captivated with their own thoughts and not captivated with the thinking of Jesus Christ. And they're not thinking biblical things that come from biblical proclamation. The desire will come to them to shepherd their own souls. Having been darkened, there is what we classify as biblical hardness. This is hardness of the heart. Having been darkened in their mind, having been alienated from the life of God through ignorance, being in them on account of the hardness, blindness of the heart. Now, what I would like to do is spend a few moments analyzing with you this magnificent 18th verse before we go to verse 19. It says, having been darkened. We've already analyzed that word, but now it says, having been darkened in their mind. Let me pause for a moment and tell you how I enjoy Greek words. When I looked at this word, dianoia, I discovered and remembered that the word nous is the word for mind. The word noia is the word for mind or thinking. But then I began to look at this particular word, and I saw something that some of our Greek students will see. You'll see that here's the word noia, N-O-I-A, for the mind. But then you'll see at the beginning of that word what is known as a prefix or a preposition. And we've learned about 13 or 14 different prepositions. This one is D-I-A. You fellows who have studied Greek and studying Greek now with me, you remember that preposition, dia. And the word dia is the word which means through. If you shoot through something, you split that thing. And now you've already concluded what I'm about to say. This emphasizes the fact that people who do not study God's Word and who do not find themselves saturated with the Word of God will find their nous, mind, dia, split. Now, we could say a split personality, but we'll go on and say a split mind, thinking in the wrong direction, having been darkened in their mind. As a result of that, they find themselves alienated, cut off from God's life, God's plan for our lives, the life of God. And this comes by means of the next word, which is so very powerful. The Greek word gnosis is the word for knowledge. Gnosko is the word which means to know. When I look at this, I discover something. I discover that it is made up of a word that tells me something about the thinking part of an individual, the mind, the thinking part of the individual. When I look at this word, I discover that it tells me something else. It tells me, because it has at the beginning of that word what is known in the Greek as an alpha privative, which means that whatever that word says, that little A at the beginning says it's the opposite of that. So if you have the word for no, and you have a little A at the beginning of it, it is a no-no. No known. Not knowing. You follow me? Do you see what this is saying? Now notice here, having been darkened in their mind, the nous, thinking part, having been alienated from the life of God by means of not knowing. And you'll notice that the King James uses the word ignorance. Now that's kind of a harsh word, isn't it? We don't want to be called ignorant. But this is saying people have darkened souls. They're going in the wrong direction. They're not properly related to God. They're alienated from God. And the reason for it is because of skotia, darkness of the soul. It's because of mataotes, emptiness of the soul. Do you see the importance of all these words? I have all these words listed, and I wanted to preach about an hour on each one of the words. What I'm trying to do is to give you a quick overview. having been darkened in their mind, having been alienated from the life of God by means of not knowing, ignorance. And then it says, this is the result of the hardness. And that Greek word is P-O-R-O-S-I-N, porosin, or porosis. This is a root word. And it says hardness, or the blindness of their cardia, the mentality of their souls. Are you able to see with me today how important these words are? Are you able to see that the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is challenging us not to have a darkness of mind, not to be filled with what we would classify as emptiness? All of these words are extremely important. And that means then that we can go to verse 19. This to me is one of the most powerful verses. When you go to verse 19, I believe it's in the bulletin there. It says, having ceased to care. Having ceased to care. And that word care there emphasizes something that took place in the past, consummated in the past, perfect tense verb, and continues to this present moment. These individuals, because of their darkness of soul, their blindness, their choosing to go in the wrong direction, to have a somewhat of a split personality, a split mind, they have moved along the way that puts them in a position so that they can fulfill what I'm about to tell you now. Who, having ceased to care, gave themselves over unto asalagia. And asalagia is the word that is translated here, lasciviousness. To work all uncleanness with pleonexia, being a very greedy individual. I'm sure that you're able to read between the lines today, because I'm not able to say everything that perhaps needs to be said. Many people have gone away from God and the Word of God. Their minds have been captivated with things that are not biblical, not right, not righteous, not holy, not good. As a result of that, they've come to a point in life where they've ceased to care. They've given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work things in the realm of uncleanness, and they become individuals with greedy souls. You have to understand that when I am preparing a message and I think about so many things that need to be said, I try to put things down and realize that some of the things I've repeated, but I come to the conclusion that I looked at this whole situation. I looked through these verses, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and I thought to myself, these are some of the most powerful words I've ever seen found here in the book of Ephesians. So I put it down again by way of overview. Powerful words. I would enjoy knowing that somewhere in your notes you're writing these words, some of these words, and writing some definitions. Powerful words. In Ephesians 4, 17, 18, 19. The first word that we mentioned to you was the word mataotes. It emphasizes walking around with an empty soul, which led us to the word skotoo, which means darkness, found in verse 18. Continue to look, we found the word alienated from God because of having a darkened soul. I look again at verse 18, which says, having been darkened in the mind. The word S-K-O-T-O-O, the way it's used here again, is a perfect tense verb, which says if we choose to be disobedient to God and the Word of God, and we let our minds be captivated with anything and everything other than what God desires for us, there's going to come darkness, spiritual darkness, darkness of the mind. Perfect tense verb, it happens in the past, consummated in the past, continues to affect us as days go by, and no matter where we are in life, if we've chosen to go that direction mentally, then our lives are captivated by aseligia, captivated by the lasciviousness of life. Having been darkened in their mind, having been alienated from the life of God through ignorance, what do? They move to a point of giving themselves over to this Greek word that you see in verse 19, aseligia, lasciviousness. What does this do? It causes an individual to have an unclean mind, an unclean heart, an unclean life, functioning on a daily basis in the wrong direction. And along with that comes greediness of the heart. When we come back to the next session, we're going to deal with that word, K-A-R-D-I-A, the word heart. If I haven't already explained it, I will repeat. The cardia is a Greek word that's used in the Bible to emphasize what we're really like. It's called the mentality of the soul. Where you are on a daily basis, where I am on a daily basis, what we think on a daily basis, what we do on a daily basis, all wrapped up in these verses that we've seen here this morning. It's very important for you and me to see that we have a cardia. The cardia is the mentality of your soul. It is what you really and what I am, what we are. Not who we think we are, but who we really are. What a challenge. What a magnificent list of words. And I've only touched just a tiny bit on these startling, pungent, powerful words. That's the reason why I call them powerful words. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today that we're challenged by your word. We want to really see ourselves as we are. We look into the mirror of the word, and there's where we're able to see what we're really like. It's not what our neighbors think about us. It's not what our congregation here thinks about us. It is not what anyone in our family thinks about us. It's when we look into the Word, the mirror of the Word, we see ourselves as we really are. There are so many things in all of our lives that need to be analyzed and in many cases corrected. Help us to understand that you have a wonderful plan for us. That plan has already been consummated. It's finished. It's been paid for in full. It's being handed over to us, and we have the responsibility of accepting that which has been procured on our behalf and now made available to us. Today, as we close this service, we're aware of the fact that there may be someone listening to this voice who's never actually gotten things settled in a right relationship to Jesus Christ, having not been born into your family, but they can be now. Because when Jesus died, he died for those hearing my voice today, to all of us. Because he said, I'm the way. He didn't say I'm one of the ways. Salvation But Jesus Christ, I am the way. He says, I am the truth. I'm the life. And no one can come to God the Father except through me. Jesus said that. And so we pray that there will be those even now who will bow and accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. They may be asking, what do I do? How can I do this? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That simply means that right now, right there where you are, if you'll do this, God will do what He said He would do, because He does not lie to us. Whosoever, that's you, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. That's what the Bible says, and that's God's truth to us. Father, we pray that there will be many who will do that now. And we thank You for Your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.